You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
All right, here's the intro to Howard Hughes. This guy is one of the owners of the Stand Up Scottsdale, a comedy club in Arizona. It was on Bar Rescue. I didn't know any of this until literally I got picked up at the airport and was told. And then I got anxiety and stressed out that this was going to be a hell gig and it was going to be crazy and, you know, fucking the Wild West and all that shit. And it wasn't. It could have been. And I had to definitely pull in the reins. But, it was actually a great club, a great crowds, a lot of fun, and not too many problems. Everybody there who worked at the club was great. Marcus and, you know, all the waiters and waitresses and the sound guy and the bouncers, great. And the guy who owns it, Howard, was, I told him at the end of the weekend, I don't know if I like you or if you're a fucking asshole. But I do like him. I do like him. He's a good guy. He's an ex-Marine in the first Iraq war. You know, he's had a divorce. Some millionaire dude gave him money to get a comedy club. So he did. And he's running it his way and he's learning along the way. I don't think you can fuck with a guy like that. So I sat down with him and I wanted to, I don't like, you know, when there's something up with somebody, I like to find out what it is. I don't want to just fucking say that guy's weird or that guy's this. If I have the opportunity to sit down and talk with him, I like to do that. And I did that on this episode, which turned out to be really interesting to me. His sister stopped through, another comic, you know, it was very interesting podcast. So check it out. It's around an hour long. It's not too long. It's the owner of of a comedy club. He's a comic. He's a war veteran, he's a good guy, I think, hopefully he gets there. Hopefully the club gets there. So this is You Know What, Dude? Interview, podcast, whatever the fuck you call it, with Howard Hughes.
Hey, gang. This is Colin Quinn.
This is Jim Norton.
This is Dennis Leary.
This is Opie from a lot of things.
This is Bert Kreischer.
Stan Cook, and you are listening to Robert Kelly's You Know What, Dude?
You Know What, Dude?
You Know What, Dude?
Ippy bippy baya, ippy bippy boo. Dippy dippy daya, yabba dabba doo.
Dude!
This is Robert Kelly's You Know What, Dude?
You know what, dude?
All right, check it out. This is a fucking on-the-go, one-on-one podcast. You Know What, Dude? For all you cocksuckers that want Thursday shows, here's your Thursday show. These are the new series I'm doing with random people around the country on my travels. I'm here with, yes, believe it or not, this name is real. Fucking Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes. Introduce yourself.
I'm Howard Hughes, owner of Stand Up Scottsdale Comedy Club, Scottsdale, Arizona.
How long have you owned it?
A year.
A year?
A year.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, this is the first time I've been here, not in Arizona. I've played the improv a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, when, what's his name, owned it? Dan Murr.
Dan Murr, yeah.
Remember Dan?
Yeah, I think he's in Chicago now.
Really? Doing what?
I think he got sick.
And, really? Yeah, watch out for that microphone.
Yeah, I think you got
sick. Straighten that out, like, yeah, right there. He's sick. Like, sick how?
I don't know. I heard it was maybe his heart.
I remember going there, and I remember I was in the bathroom. This was when I was young. I was just starting to headline.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't say hi to me. And then, like, later that night, he came up. I was like, hey, how are you? I'm like, but you saw me, and you know who I am. It was just like weird. Like, why would you play that game?
He waited to see how the show went.
I don't know. And then I remember he had, what are those things where you buy the house?
And you timeshares. I came out to sell my CD after the show, and he made me sell it outside in the parking lot.
Downstairs in the parking lot.
Right. Yeah. Did you know that? Yeah. Because they had a timeshare thing set up.
Wow.
And I was like, are you shitting me? And I remember there was two ways you could go at the bottom of the stairs, and I chose the wrong way. So nobody came by me.
They're like, we just bought a $10,000 timeshare.
Yeah, I was there with Doug Benson.
Oh, wow.
It was him, then me.
I'll tell you what, though. Dan Mur did.
Fix that mic.
Dan Mur did so much.
Your designer shirt keeps fucking up.
He did so much for comedy here.
Did he?
In Arizona. Oh, man. He was really the kind of guy that I sort of pattern myself after. You know,
Really?
In this sense, right? He didn't hustle local comedians to fill that room. He didn't sell a comedy dream to anybody for his own good. He had three or four people that he had feature and open. And open most of the time, not even feature. And you didn't get on that stage unless he felt comfortable charging strangers part of $20 or $30 or $40 to hear you.
Right.
And that's...
Yeah, but he fucked with a lot of guys too, though.
Well, I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I never cared because after I came here, and then he would come to New York once in a while, and I'd get him in at the Cellar and stuff, and you know, he always liked that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was kind of, you know, he's like a mover and shaker kind of guy. He always had a suit on, you know, when I knew
mover and shaker. That's exactly what somebody said about him the first time.
Yeah.
He's that mover and shaker guy. Like,
right.
I got him tickets to, like, I remember when me and Dane came here, or Opie and Ant, something, and I got him tickets, and he loved tickets, like VIP'd.
Yeah.
But this club, yeah, so I haven't been back since then. They were supposed to bring me back for, like, I think the Improv had some side room that they were doing. What was it called?
You know what? When they were going out of business a year ago, it was ridiculous.
Really?
They called it at one point they called it the Wonderama room.
The what?
The Wonderama. It was ridiculous. And you know, they'd hustle local comedians and be like, "Hey, you're at the Improv," and to put on these shows and hustle their friends out, and hold the class shows in there. And
well, here's the thing about you, right, in this club. First of all, let me just say this. The end of the weekend, it's Saturday night. I'm leaving. I have nothing. I'm not, you know, worried about it. I mean,
right.
It's a good club.
Thanks, man.
I will say that.
You had me worried.
I didn't. Well,
a couple times.
You had me worried, dude. Well, because you're not. This is the thing, dude. You're a comic and you're a club owner that always causes a fucking problem with comics, because even Vinny Brand does this. You know, Vinny owns the club.
I don't know who that is.
Stress Factory in Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Is one of my favorite clubs on the planet Earth. It's a great club, individually owned, not fucking, you know, there's not a million of them, it's not a franchise, but he's a fucking comic. And he goes up and does the same shit you do, which is annoying. You know what I mean? It's I get it. It's fine. In reality, it's fucking fine.
Yeah.
But it's fucking weird. Usually you go to clubs, there's a manager, assistant manager, the fucking bouncers. What do you want? All right, 10, 20, me. You go up, you do your shit. Thank you, Robert. Great show. You sell your shit, and it's fucking stressless. Flawless, no nothing.
Why is it stressful if I'm on the show?
Because you don't know how much time you're gonna do. Because it's your, you know, how long you're gonna stay up there. You then you bring this guy's gonna. Well, who the fuck is that on this guitar? Every night it changes because it's you're running it. And then how much time are you doing? He told me to do. What the fuck is? I told you I wanted 30 minutes. Now it's 40 minutes.
It was 35. You said up to 35.
But you understand?
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on. I don't know you.
Right.
Now at the end of the weekend, I can say. You know what? Look back. This guy did, okay, he did what he's going to do. He's not an asshole. He's a good person. That's the main thing. Right. You're a good person. You're not an asshole.
Right.
You're not malicious.
Right.
You haven't been malicious. And, you know, you look back now and go, okay, if you come back here, it's like, you don't have to fucking worry about it. Howard's fucking Howard. He's out of his mind, but he's a comic. But you just say, dude, can we do this, this, and this? Yeah, I got it. No problem. And then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But you don't know you. So right. You worry about it. You get stressed out. The last thing a guy like me, who's on the road 40 weeks out of the year,
right.
wants to do is stress out about anything.
Yeah, and you know what? And I can tell you, quite honestly, the more somebody is stressing out around me,
yeah.
I stress out even less.
Right.
Because I just go, well, let's just get it way down. Because once, right. if I lose my mind,
right.
then I tend to lose it. And there's no getting that back.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I just try to keep everybody loose and kind of not exactly not knowing, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, we can't compete with the big clubs here. And so in my mind, and it's part of the way I'm just thinking, where it's like, I want just how kind of...
Thank you, buddy.
How kind of you're kind of, you know, maybe have questions about the show. I want the audience to have questions about the show, too. I don't want them to feel comfortable and safe sitting in this room, you know. I want them to feel like anything could happen. It's a controlled explosion.
And yeah, but here's the deal with that. Okay, here's the deal with that. I've been doing this for 20 years on a professional level. This is how I make my living. And in my experience, that weirdness that you're talking about is not a good thing, because when it goes out of control, everybody loses. And when you put on consistency, I find in anything that I do comedy wise, consistency, you can still go up and do new shit and experiment. But if you have a funny show and people leave here, like this weekend, I would think that everybody's going to leave and go, that was fun.
Right.
That was great. Yeah. I will come back here. Rather than go over there, because when we were over there, it wasn't funny. It was okay.
Right.
If you do that, I think people come back.
Well, I mean, and I think...
And then your business grows.
Sure, but
And then you have these other nights, though.
Right.
That you have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to do this fucking weird, awesome craziness. We have another room.
Yeah. And we have the biggest open mic in town on any night. Ours is on Wednesday. It's a show up, go up. Right. We always have 30 or 40 comedians show up. We have 40 or 60 guests show up. And we hold it in that small room. And it's a great time.
It should be going on Fridays and Saturdays, man.
Now,
in the middle of my second show,
you
should be letting these guys, these comics, produce their own show at your place. Because you're going to develop this fucking cult of creative comics that they have finally have an outlet at your place, and they're going to get better and better and better, and someone's going to pop out of there and go, holy shit, they're going to just be that guy,
right?
That Eddie Murphy, that fucking dude, and you're going to have him, and you'll be able to slide them over from this place, the factory, into the fucking main warehouse to open and host. And all of a sudden, you're going to have this rotating fucking amazing talent that you're cultivating in your club.
Right.
And then someday you're going to have a headliner that started in that room.
Right.
Who's selling out your big room.
Right.
Yeah. And you're going to be driving a fucking Mercedes. Right. Honest to God.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And we do have shows in there, but this is a weird town, man. It's largely a class comedy bringer town. We have a lot of comedians.
Right.
But they're used to being in the main room of a club because they brought people out or they're taking those classes.
And you don't like that shit.
I hate my very first show ever. And you know what? I was 35 when I started comedy. I just happened to be in LA, and so I took a class. You know, because I didn't know anything about it. And at the end of that class, somebody came up to me and he said, "Look, I run shows at the world famous comedy store.
Right.
How would you like your first show as a comedian to be on a Friday night, the main stage of the world famous comedy store?" And I was like, man, like I knew I was good in this class.
Right.
But I had no idea I was professional already. And now I'm dude, I had 20 plus people fly or drive from Phoenix and another 20 or 30 people from LA come and see me do the worst 6 minutes at going up 18th on a Friday night. And by the time they got halfway through, I realized what I was part of. And that's when I committed to myself through embarrassment. I couldn't believe my family was out there. And I said, you know what? I will never sell a comedy dream to somebody. I will never buy a comedy dream. And I won't hustle comedians to fill a show. And that's the mindset I've had.
I don't disagree with that.
Ever since.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think that's great.
It's disingenuous. I'm just saying
that you have that room.
Yeah.
And you could give it away.
We've had people in there.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, we do. But it's like, it takes a certain person to run a show. Mm. Do you know what I mean? A lot of people want to do it and they'll start it, but there's not
right.
that stick-to-itiveness to get it through to a show that strangers value.
All right, well, listen, dude, here's the thing, too. I want to kind of go back a little bit. I mean, at the end of the fucking day, you know, I mean, I came in, you know, the hotel was fucking weird to me. Seriously. But now, it was a real weird gig, man, for me, because it all looked like it was falling apart.
Right.
Like, when I got here, I was excited to come. But then I looked and, like, the Twitter, like, nobody from your Twitter account has been promoting me. The last person they promoted was fucking Pete Corielli.
Yeah, we don't.
And I was like, I just took a $100 ad out on Facebook to promote the show. I'm like, I'm paying more money. I'm promoting social media more than this fucking club. That fucking aggravated me. I was like, what the fuck? And then did
you talk to somebody too before you came out here? And they got a little twisted.
I talked to Goldman. But actually, Goldman was like, dude, listen to me. This club is a good club.
Awesome. We love Gary.
He literally said, it's a good club. You just gotta, you gotta fucking make sure you say what, look at this, is what I want. And you're fine. It's just, it's a good club. I was like, okay, dude, I get it. Cause I was a little twisted coming in. And then I went to the hotel, which I was like, okay, this is cool.
Yeah.
But then I got to my room and it was like an LA apartment from 1978. And I was like, I was like, what the fuck? But that all switched around too, by the way. Because
yeah.
the owner of that hotel, the El Dorado,
right.
Talked to me and he said he was going to do the shit. And then later that night, I came out, he didn't do it. And I was like, you know what? Fuck you. He came out, he's like, oh. And I was like, oh, whatever. And he was like, can I? I go, no, I'm good. I'm out tomorrow. I don't need it. And I really blew him off. But he still came out and was like, listen, man, I fucked up. And you know what I mean? Anybody who anybody who does that to me, you're good. You're, right. The fact that you're a grown man, you're an alpha male, but you can say, hey, I fucked up. And he was like, next time, you should have been in this room. We have these certain rooms that are redone. We're redoing the whole hotel, but we got to do it space at a time. And I'm working my ass off. And you should have been in this. We always put the comics in this room and you didn't. They fucked up and they put you in the wrong room. And I came home that night and he was there. It was like fucking one. And he was like, in your back room. And he actually put blinds up.
That's cool.
Yeah. Dude, way fucking cool. Because yeah. I can't sleep in that room. You know what I mean? And I was like this. And then I looked at the other rooms that they do have that they're transforming this
place.
They're
nice.
And I was like, this is what you were talking about is awesome.
Right.
That's why I didn't understand what you, I was like, to me, I was like, how it looks like he's stylish, but is he a fucking idiot? But you don't know the room I was in.
No.
So, but the room you're talking about is the shit.
They really are.
Unfucking believable. So I that switched around for me. I get the hotel now. Like, it's transforming into this amazing
right.
artsy place. Yeah, pull that mic up. Put it up on your lapel a little higher.
Okay.
Yeah, right there. Yeah. And so, you know, and then the club too. It's like, the first night here, dude, I was like, oh, shit. When I met you, I was like, this is oh, shit. But then, you know, I talked to Gary, and then I talked to you. And you have this backstory that is pretty, I don't know, dude, it's pretty fucking crazy. You're in the Marines.
Yeah.
You went to Iraq.
Right.
How long were you there for?
13 months.
13 months. Yeah. You're in the Marines.
Desert Storm.
You're in Desert Storm, the original.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're in the Marines for how long?
4 years.
4 fucking years in the Marines.
Yeah.
You get out.
You go to school.
And then how the fuck?
I go to ASU and then I moved I moved to Mexico City, and I lived there for 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And then I got married, and she was an actress in Mexico, and I had a business partner in this other business that I have, and he kind of screwed me, and I just wanted to come back to the States to kind of regather myself, and so we moved to L.A. But, you know, we moved to L.A. at a time where the relationship was, you know, we were kind of bored with each other. And, you know, it's not a great place to be bored in a relationship.
No, not when you're, she's hot, too.
Oh, she's amazing. Yeah.
Smoking hot. Yeah, and you're a good looking guy.
She sits in the box at the Standard Hotel.
Oh, no.
On Sunset. Yeah.
Really? Still?
Yeah. Yeah. I think still she does it.
Does that make you feel good?
Yeah. You know what, man? I was over. I mean, she's still beautiful. You know, I see her now and we're friends and we talk. You know, it's weird when you stop being attracted in your heart to a fucking person that's that hot. You know what I mean?
You know what's even weirder? Yeah. Starting to be attracted to a person that isn't that
right,
hot.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? My wife's not a fucking 11. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So my wife, you know, the chicks that I used to like to eat their assholes in Vegas... Yeah. You know, the dancers and the right. L.A. broads. My wife is a fucking regular broad from Boston. But all That's of a sudden, awesome. She became beautiful. It was, I know, when it's fucked up when that hot chick becomes ugly.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I'd like wake up with a boner and I'd just like hide it. You know, I'd be like, God, I hope she doesn't see this. Oh, man. And I'd just be like, what is wrong with me? Like, what's happening to my life?
Why,
you know what I mean?
Why did you hide it? You just didn't want to fuck her.
Right. I was just like, because my head wasn't in it. You know what I mean? So I just, funny. I was eating salmon and salad almost every meal.
Why?
You know what I mean? Because that's what she wanted to eat. She wanted to, you know, stay
trim and
healthy and, right. You know what I mean? And the more healthy and beautiful she got, like just the more disgusting I wanted to become. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Not exercising anymore. I stopped doing everything and I was just, you know, yeah, it was crazy. It was a weird time. But you know, she's great. She really is a great person.
So you're a very LA dude. You have that Arizona LA laid back, good looking, tall, thin. You could cut your hair short, grow it long, right. Whatever the fuck you want to do, and you're still going to be a good-looking guy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you have that laid-back attitude, too, which totally clashes with my fucking ego.
Dude.
Right. Yeah, your vibe and my vibe clash. But I do, I like your vibe. I don't mind. I used to get mad at it because I thought I used to have to get mad at LA dudes, but now I actually like that vibe. It's, you know what I mean?
But I don't, I mean, you know what? I'm a little too old to say I'm an LA dude. I mean, this is just who I am. You
right,
know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
I grew up here and yeah. I, you know, I mean, I'm a high strung person, but you right. know, I had a stroke 3 months ago.
Wait a minute.
So it's like, I'm trying to chill out.
You had a fucking stroke?
Yeah.
What? Like a full on stroke?
Yeah, but I'm sitting right here.
Really?
Bye. Bye.
I'm going.
Okay.
I love you.
That's your lovely sister.
That's my sister.
Yeah, she's awesome.
The one who was crying and said I was a failure on Bar Rescue.
Did she?
Yeah.
I didn't watch The Rescue because
it's a fucked up show.
It wasn't like that. I wasn't saying it like that. I don't think you're a failure.
You said I failed in everything that I've done.
I didn't mean and that. I'm like, I didn't think they were going
to I was like,
that.
What is she talking about? What can she even point to? I got divorced. Big deal.
I didn't mean it that way. I mean, God, it was in the moment.
So crazy,
man. Listen, man, here's the deal. First of all, that reality TV show shit, they get you to say, look, I just shot one for Travel Channel. I don't think it's getting picked up.
Yeah.
But that we get people to, I could get people to say what I wanted them to say. And do what I and they just say it and do it
because
they're being on TV,
dude. That's
and you don't even know that you're doing it.
Yeah, I didn't know I said that.
They bring you down a path, boom, boom, boom. By doing questions.
Here's what they did in that scene. They took the staff out and they said, "Look, if you have anything nice to say about Howard, this is not the time to say it."
Really?
Yeah.
They said that.
Yeah, they told most everyone that.
Yeah, everybody gets scared.
But they didn't tell me that. I was mostly playing on his emotions were killing me. And so everything that was happening, I was just like, dude, like this, it just kind of happened, you know? I don't know. I can't even explain what happened. I don't really.
It's crazy. I mean, you're up You're up from noon. You have to be here at noon till 2. And you're not doing anything. And then they're telling you the whole time, hey, look, if we don't get footage, we're going to pack up and go. You know?
Yeah, they're threatening.
We need to make a show. And all they would say, they would say, hey, what's Howard doing to fuck up this club? And then they'd go like, what? Nothing. No, but, you know, things that are fucked up, what's Howard doing?
Yeah, what could be better? What's not getting done? Okay, so you say, well, this could be better. Okay, so tell us how Howard's not, like, supporting you on that. You know what I mean? Like that. Okay, well, you know, then you...
They
break it down. And
they're saying the least funny club in Scottsdale. And he kept saying, I read your Yelp reviews. And yeah, you did? Well, we have over 200 and we have 4.5 stars.
Right.
Which ones did you read? Because you didn't find any evidence that this club blows. Well, some people don't like you, Howard. Well, who gives a shit if some people don't like me? Mm-hmm. There are 4 negative reviews that don't like the joke that I tell about having to put my dog down.
Right. What's the joke? Dude, Please tell me the joke.
Part of the joke is I tell how I had to put down my dog Rocco.
Right.
And then I go through it, you know, like how my dog is. He's like looking at me the whole time as we're taking him in there, just like thanking me with his eyes about for the times that we've had. Right. And the vet comes in and the strange guy comes in and that to prep his arm, and he's just got his arm there, you know, and he's just never breaking eye contact with me, just thanking me and giving me love. And then the vet says, look, tell me when you want me to do this, you know, and I start crying, and I'm crying so much that this vet who's like your size, he starts crying. And we all know, like, vets, they kill more animals than they save,
right?
You know, and then I say, okay, and I can just see like this little skin on his thumb crinkle, just barely pushing this needle, and he's gone, and I'm crying, and I'm feeling anger and like the sadness that's welling up inside me, and the murders and tensions towards fucking people that love cats and have fucking cats in their lives. And then like some of the crowd is crying up until this point.
Yeah.
And then when I talk about cats, the crowd just like lets loose. Right. And then I was like, I wanted to go into PetSmart and I want to take every cat and every kitten and take it out onto Miller Road and throw them onto the windshields of oncoming cars. If you have a fucking cat in your life, you're living a lie of love. That animal doesn't fucking give a shit about you.
Isn't that the joke you did the other day?
Yeah.
I think that's the joke.
I might have done
something. Can I just say something like that? I think that's the joke. Remember I told you when I saw you? The real fucking...
No, that's we're nerds with guns. If you have a nerd.
There was it?
Yeah, it's the nerds with guns, and it's about how you have to kill your own kid if he's a nerd with guns. But that's the set I've naturally been doing lately. I start off with my stroke, and I tell about my uncle who had a stroke and how he could only say shit, fucking yeah, after his stroke. Mm. And that's about 5 or 6 minutes. And then I go into the dog.
Well, before we get into it, because this show, because we just told this whole big thing.
Yeah.
This show was on Bar Rescue,
yeah,
which I watch.
Yeah,
I've watched it. I didn't watch this episode because I didn't want to watch it till I got home because I didn't want to have stupid shit in my head while I'm watching this show. I really didn't want to watch it. I didn't want to. Yeah, this.
You can't take it.
Notion.
And I didn't want to have something about you.
Right.
In your head.
Yeah, because I was already fucking...
More than what Gary told you.
No, but Gary actually said you're a nice guy.
I'm telling you, we love Gary. The first time he was out, he was so... Everything went great. And the second time, we just... I think that just our moons were off because he was high-strung this time.
I was trying to explain that to you because this is your club and you do it a weird way.
Yeah.
You don't do this shit. We do the road every fucking week. We're comics.
Yeah.
We're fucking... Road Comedy Club comics. When you think of stand-up comics, you think of me, Burr, Norton, Gulman. This is what we do.
Yeah.
And we go up for an hour and more if we had to and kill in different ways. This is what we do. We don't, you know, we don't fuck around. So when you come into a club and it's not and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I got this guy going up. I'm going to go up maybe. And how much time you doing? I don't know. Well, tell me, motherfucker. We've been fucked so many times. We've been fucked by middlers, club managers. where they don't give a fuck. Yeah. And all of a sudden, this guy's up there. They book two of me in front of me.
Right.
So I got to follow me. Or the middle of just all he does is talk to the fucking crowd. So he gets everybody talking and talking. Now I get up there. They want to yell shit at me. But I have an hour of jokes
right.
that I'm here to tell. I'm the fucking professional. I'm the motherfucker that's going to do an hour. I'm the guy you paid me to. And so you don't know. So when we come here, you get up to, you get panicky. Like, dude, what the fuck you doing, Howard? When you, what he told me is like, dude, don't worry. I worried too. Howard's cool.
Yeah.
The club's great. You're going to have a great time. I had one show where these drunk people and they kicked him out. Well, we had the same thing. Well, I had the same thing Thursday night with that bitch.
Right, yeah.
But this is what made me feel great. I went to the dude, the black dude, what's his name?
Michael.
Michael. And I was like, dude, look, just shut them the fuck up. If I say shut the fuck up, it's too far. I don't want that. I want to tell my jokes and I want people to listen to me. I have something to say. I've been working very hard on expressing my inner fucking who the fuck I am
yeah.
to a crowd of nobodies. Like, not nobodies, but right, people no. I don't know.
Right.
And have them laugh and also relate and take home what I talk to them about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I really want them to listen. So drunk twats in the back who came to talk and drunk, fuck them.
Right.
I don't care about them, you know? So he was great, though. Even when you were on, the guy was standing up yelling shit at you. That's not comedy. That's fucking crazy bar shit. So I was like, tell him to shut the fuck up. Then he shut the fuck up, and there you go. The rest of the show was fine. So you have to understand that you're coming in here, and it's like, dude, first of all, you're on Bar Rescue. That's not a good thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I said to you, that's not like a Michelin star. You know what I mean? Yeah,
that was awesome.
And then you come in and you switch it up every night. Like, yeah. I was like, I don't know. Like, when you walked in tonight, it's like, I don't know if you're an asshole. I really like you. It's like, I'm serious. It's like.
It's probably both.
Well, here's the deal is that, you know, you're 7 years into the business and you own a fucking comedy
club.
It's
crazy, man.
And then you got all this back shit in your life, the girl, the fucking war. The war would have been enough history for one human being. Then you get married to this crazy broad, you get divorced, you come back here, you get this comedy thing going, right? And then somebody, I want to know how the fuck you went from a comic to owning a comedy club.
You know what? I got into it when I was divorced. I came up back here and I got into a club just right down the street, and it's a it's a bringer club, whatever. And for a little while, I did it because that's the only place I could really perform because the improv wasn't bringing. Yeah, we all started there, and I just got tired of it. You know, I got tired of it. And honestly, God, I'm not. You know, I don't think I'm amazing, right? I mean, I think I'm good, but not amazing. But
I don't think you're amazing either.
But you didn't see it. You didn't see it. Trust me. I wish.
I actually agree with you for the first time this weekend. You're not amazing.
All right, let's go downstairs. So let me do my set. But no, honestly, we would be on this show. And people would come up afterwards and they would be like, oh my gosh, that you are so good to me, Kengo, Ricardo, a couple of other people.
Right.
And it was like, man, we wish you would have been the headliner. Because this club, especially at that time, brought in like Midwestern headliners that were just yucking it up. Right, and it was embarrassing, you know?
Right.
And for a little while, that feels good. Like, God damn, I'm that good. Until you realize you're not that good. Uh-huh. You're on a shit show.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I went out and I started this show called Stand Up Sangria way up in northern Glendale.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, and
I've been on the first one of every show he's done. That's my favorite.
Nate
part.
Sinclair. Yeah. And then
he's always invited me for some
Okay. All right. So we did that for about a year, and then it's a dance club. And we had one show Friday and Saturday before the dance club opened.
Okay.
And it was great. And but then they went out of business.
You were the Jay Davis of
you know what? Scottsdale. Yeah. That's honest, man, it was crazy. I wish I was that good, but I'm not, you know, it's for promoting and stuff. And right. And then I moved it to a little bar over here. A guy was crazy. And then I moved it to this hotel. And when I was at this hotel, the guy who owned this building at the time, this was Anderson's Fifth Estate, David Spade, started right on that stage in 1983 or whatever it was. Sure. He had a show called Comedy Corner on Tuesdays. And They came over and they said, hey, why don't you bring your show over here? They were losing their ass. Uh-huh. And so I brought the show over here. We did that for about a year. And I only had the door and I was losing all the time.
Really?
And Nathan, you met Nathan.
I did.
Lerner, right?
Yeah.
My business partner.
I did, right?
Yeah.
When?
Wait a minute.
I never met
him.
Oh, well, he's on Bar Rescue.
Yeah.
Did he come to the
show?
He's
in Cuba. He just went to Cuba today.
Oh, yeah,
so, yeah, it was today.
Right.
And him and his wife at the time, they'd been in a few times. And on New Year's, last year on New Year's, about 1:30 in the morning, they came up to me and they said, look, man, you know, you don't know us. We've been here a few times. We used to go to the Improv. They closed. We love what you do.
Right.
We love how you treat the people. We love the shows you put on.
Uh-huh.
What do you need for this? And I was just like, what?
Right.
And he goes, call me this week. Let's go to lunch. I called him. Within a month, he got together some friends. They put in $100,000. We bought the business, the license, and all the assets of the business.
Did you own the build? Buy the building?
No. Fuck. The building's not worth shit. It's
right.
This is a tear-down building. Yeah, it's horrible.
Right.
And so we've just been going like that all along. And then the shows have been, I mean, from day one, we have rabid fans here. You know what I mean?
Right.
We get people. Before we got here, comedy was the Improv, you know, the comedy spot down the street. You know, that's a different.
That's not right. People weren't there.
But no. That's a bringer place. This is the Improv is like celebrity comedy.
Yeah.
So people in this town, they were going to comedy once or twice a year to see the celebrity comedian.
Right, yeah, yeah.
What we've started here is we've made comedy at once a month or every other month outing for people.
Right.
They love
comedy. Now there's comedy. There's a comedy scene.
Exactly. And somebody just wrote on our Yelp. And it's the one thing that I've always said. I always told Nathan, I go, look, dude, what we're building here is that people aren't even going to have to know who the headliner is. They're just going to come because they have the faith in us that we're not trying to get over on them, that
right.
we book somebody good. And this girl just wrote it on Yelp, took a year, and she goes, and she only gave us 3 stars,
right?
But it's the best 3-star review ever. And she's like, I don't even have to call. I always know I'm going to love what's happening here.
Right.
And man, I'm getting goosebumps even thinking about it because that was the goal, you know?
You're getting goosebumps right now?
Yeah, from even thinking about it.
You don't have another stroke, right?
I don't think so, no.
The same customers. Well, not always, but often.
But here's the thing, too. I looked up your lineup, and you get a lot of fucking great, I mean, people I know that are coming. But you also have young guys that are coming up. That are coming.
Yeah.
Like Andrew Schultz.
Ron Funches is going to be here.
You know Andrew Schultz?
Yeah, he's been out here before. He'll be here next week.
I just shot a pilot with him last year.
Oh, that's cool.
Very talented actor, too.
Oh,
but,
nice.
So you got this club. Now you get this club.
Yeah.
How do you go to fucking getting all this money, having you pretty much as a comic, a dream come true, a promoter comic, and then you go to fucking Bar Rescue? What was that?
You know what? I love the show. I always watched it.
Yeah,
and our problem is here because I don't put bringers on the show. I don't do any of the typical things. I don't paper the room. We do Groupon and so I thought, you know what? We didn't have a marketing budget really, and I thought, what a great way to get some
publicity
to look like an ass on TV.
And, you had a stroke before or after Bar?
I had a stroke before it, and they told me, they said, don't tell them because they'll pull the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so I didn't say anything. I told the producers, but that was as far as it went. And
I heard, I mean, I didn't see it, like I said, but I heard that you cried a bunch of times.
Yeah. Dude, I cried a bunch of times. Oh, yeah. They didn't even show the half of it.
Really?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not like it's just a show. It's almost like a personal growth seminar. They're breaking you down.
I'll tell you what. Honest to God, I graduated number one out of 300 Marines in boot camp.
Right.
I never cried once in boot camp.
Right.
This was.
They got him crying like.
You know, one, kind of like your joke. I've got a healthy relationship with a good cry. It doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, but this was, they were saying so many things that were false and so many. It was such a.
There is a point in the show.
Yeah.
Where John Taffer is standing behind the bar and Howard's sitting at the bar.
Is that Big Mouth?
Yeah.
The main guy on the show.
Just he has a confident stare and a big mouth.
And he's fucking standing behind the bar. It's like, Howard, I'm going to be totally brutal with you. this is why your life, this is why your wife left you.
And Howard's like,
just like pointing right at him. I was like,
really?
Yeah. Oh, dude,
I watched this and I'm like, okay, I know Howard.
Why did she leave? Because why? Why did he say?
Because
I'm sitting there and I'm like, if somebody told me that and my wife actually left me and somebody told me that, that's going to be a fight on Bar Rescue. Like, they're going to be filming me.
Right, you'd lose, but you'd fight him.
I would be punching this guy. I'm kidding. At least
one. Oh, no, that joke. Hang on. Yeah. That joke doesn't play on the podcast because you can't see him. He's a little dude.
I'm a little dude.
I know. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, dude.
John Taffer would probably beat the shit.
Of course he's fucking. He's got gigantism.
He's not that big, really. He's only 6'2", maybe.
He'd hit you with his head.
I could take John Taffer.
You know what the funny thing about that is when you'd stump him. You know?
Like what?
Oh, my God. Like, when one of those scenes, he goes, what you need? You need to have a porter here? I go, dude, what are you talking about? A fucking porter? I go, this isn't the 1920s. Nobody
porter?
Yeah.
And what he just
goes,
porter?
And he goes, like somebody who carries bags, right? A porter, like a hey, porter. You know, somebody who carries your bags on a train or a hotel, I think.
Yeah, somebody who shows you
like a coat check.
Dude, and get this. This other guy, Gianluca Rizzo or whatever, these guys were dumb. He says, we're having this meeting. There's so much stuff they didn't show. And all of a sudden, John goes, you've got a huge, huge population of retirees here. You know? What you need to do is you need to get some of those old-timey Catskill comedians in here. And I just go, what? And he goes, that's their market.
They're all dead.
Get them in.
They're dead.
And I go, John, if the Catskill comedians were doing anything, the fucking Catskills would be going off.
Yeah.
Right now. They wouldn't come here to do what they did in the Catskills.
Why would they come to the fucking Arizona?
And Rizzo is just looking at me like, and that's when they started, your attitude's too big for this. That's why this club's going to fail. You know, blah, 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 blah. I mean,
so
just
hammering back onto the whole different point. Different situations, like, in between each other. And so what you see on TV is all a bunch of different scenes.
Thanks.
Hi, buddy.
Great job tonight. Nate Sinclair.
Nate, nice to meet you, man.
You look at these scenes, and it's like he's arguing with me, and it's like a Flintstones thing. Like, he's yelling at me, and they show me, I've got my glasses on, they flip it back to him, they flip it back to me, now I don't have my glasses on, then they flip it back to him, then they flip it back to me, my glasses are back on. There's so many different times that they're pasting together to make these situations happen.
Yeah, it's reality TV, and there's not one real thing about it. It's so produced, and it's so, and after the fact, every show on TV that you see is overproduced. They make the show with music, a sound bed, and a really good editor.
Yeah,
that's how you make TV: music and an editor. They played certain music, bam, bam, right when you're fucking mad, and the guy cuts it. But here's the thing, though, is that here at the end of it, they redo the bar. The club looks great, though. It really does. Appearance wise, the stage.
Nothing's different about the stage.
Really?
Except the immediate backdrop. I did the sides.
What, the wood?
The wood. That's mine.
That black wood?
That's mine.
I love that wood.
All they did was put the middle in there. was put the middle part in there.
You painted the pine, right?
That's it. That's all they did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they took a...
What about the fucking Laugh Factory thing? What is this Laugh Factory sign?
I'm going home. So, here's...
Nice, me too.
There's my sister, Shannon.
I like that you talk about your wife.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. She's awesome.
I've been married for 21 years.
Yeah.
I
love him.
I'm going to be with him for like 9 days in South Carolina.
I know. I can't wait to see my wife tomorrow.
Can't wait. Here's the thing with the Laugh Factory. Love you too.
Bye. Nice to meet you.
He sets that up, and we go over there, and it's a good time. You know, Jamie was great and showed us the house that
I'm going to help you, buddy. I've made decision to help you play good cop with what? What'd you just say? I didn't fucking understand it. You didn't have periods.
It was great, though. And so we get back here, though, and here's, for one, we could squeeze 200 people in here before Bar Rescue jacked it up. When they left, we could only see 120 people in here.
No shit.
And we had to seat 190 people the very next day. from not nothing from the show. That's just people coming to see our show.
Right.
You know? And so we had to go buy all those little metal tables that you saw. Uh-huh. We had to go buy 65 new chairs. It was ridiculous. And so the big thing with the so in the reveal, we shot it both ways. We shot the Laugh Factory, and then we had to turn back around and then do the reveal again for Stand Up Scottsdale.
Oh, you had so you had to pretend to be excited for two different things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
How fucking that's what makes me fucking sick. Not about you.
Right.
Because what are you gonna do? This is the only option you have.
Right.
You know what? I'm not doing this. Go fuck yourself.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Which is a hard thing to actually man up and do.
I'll tell you what. They brought us in the side room first, which I was like, oh, this is cool. This looks a lot better.
What's the side room?
The little room.
Oh, it looks great.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it looks really different. And then they brought us into the main room. And, you know, that top section, mm-hmm. You'd come out of that stupid green room they built, and then you'd take a 45, and they put steps right at the corner, and you'd walk down the steps and then onto the stage, right? But they put no handrails, it wasn't a full step, and it was a fire hazard. And so we had to immediately get rid of that, right?
So they didn't even do anything up to code.
No, they dude, it was supposed to, the paint job, they didn't clear it through the city. The sign is not even a permittable sign in this city. We're gonna have to change the sign. They still have 45 chairs that they didn't replace, that they took out, that they haven't given us.
They took it?
Yeah.
Where'd they go?
No. Well, they took out these chairs that we had, these banquet chairs,
and
they brought 65 chairs in. And so they took out 120 or 30 chairs, and they only replaced us with 65 of them. That's why we had to go buy. Things aren't awesome here, you know, financially. We're not like they said, 180,000 in the hole. It was so stupid, and we kept yelling about that too, and they just
dumb. Make it look like you're closing next week,
right? It's so dumb, you know. And but we didn't have $2,000 to go fix a fucking show that was supposed to put us in the position to really do this, you know what I mean. And so the way they made me look on the deal with the Laugh Factory is that what people don't understand is the Laugh Factory in LA is what it is because that's where everybody lives.
Yeah,
and Tim Allen can go there on a Tuesday.
Yeah, Dane Cook is there every other fucking night.
You know what I mean? Those people aren't going to come here. And you get one chance. I always tell people, you get one chance to fuck over an audience member.
Yeah.
And if you take it, they're gone.
Yeah.
And when people see the Laugh Factory, that's what they expect. And it doesn't matter how good the comedians are that come in here. If in their mind, it's not the comedians they expect.
Where is the Laugh Factory, besides L.A., done well?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, what's up, fuckers? Make sure you go to my website, robertkellylive.com, and check out all my dates, my tour dates, at robertkellylive.com. It's a fucking fantastic little website for you. You can find out that I'm going to be at the Governor's Brokerage Comedy Club, Belmore, New York, May 10th, May 11th. Comics Foxwoods, 27th, 28th, 29th. You Know What Dude podcast show. Luis Gomez, Kelly Festuca, myself will be there all weekend. We're doing a bunch of shows at the Foxwoods, the 27th, 28th, 29th. And then we're doing a nasty show on Saturday. So come down, spread the word, Connecticut, Boston, Rhode Island. And we're going to be doing maybe a podcast at some point, either after one of the shows or before. We'll let you know as the date gets closer. And then I'm going to Just for Laughs for a long fucking time. A long fucking time. Holy shit fucking time. The 16th of July to the 28th. I don't even know if that's legal. So there you go. Go to my comedy fucking website for more information, bio, photos, love, whatever you want. Facebook, Twitter. Make sure you spread the word about the show. Come see us live. Support us live. It's always great when you, the YKWD fans, come up after the show and let us know that you were there. Yell out, dude, at the show. I'll know that's you. Or a fucking retarded person. So there you go. And go get my app on iTunes, Robert Kelly Live app. has the podcast on it, all my dates, right in the palm of your hand. And it's award-winning. So check it out. Android, it's coming soon. My developer, I think he doesn't talk to me anymore, so I don't know what the fuck's going on. So what the fuck are you going to do? But get the app if you have an iPhone. And get the Riotcast app if you have an iPhone. Get it all. It's all free. Free, 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 free. Fuck, it's free. God. So there you go. Why would you take stand-up Scott? Was it
stand-up Scottsdale?
Stand-up Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Which is, that's it, you.
Right.
That's you.
Yeah.
Why would you take that and fucking throw that away?
Right.
When that is the only thing you got.
Right.
It's your stamp. It's your silhouette. It's your fucking, when people see that logo, they know what the fuck it is.
Right.
Why would you throw that away for something that people are going to be like, what? Is that a, huh?
Right.
Isn't that now, huh? And you're not going to even get, you're right, you're not going to get those guys. You got to bring, like, your guys are Gary Gulman, me, Andrew Schultz and Voss, Rachel Feinstein and Voss. Yeah. Those are your guys that are going to build your clientele up. And then you and the other comics that you use, that's going to build your clientele. But that means your sign represents that.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Without a doubt. We can't compete with a big box corporate place. We don't have the marketing. We don't have the staff, you know, the funding for the staff.
Right.
What we try to do is, you know, it's like, to me, it's a throwback comedy club. It's dark. It's, you know, it may smell a little bit. It's, you're here for comedy. Anything else you get is bonus. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We guarantee you're going to get great comedy. And if you don't like the comedy, then come and talk with us. And if something went wrong, we'll take care of that.
What do you mean? I don't understand what that means.
This
is what bugged me.
We give a money back guarantee.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fucking stupid.
Yeah. If you don't have a good time here, come and talk to us.
What about that drunk girl?
Last night?
No. Thursday night.
Thursday night. Oh, is that Thursday?
Thursday night. Drunk girl, I'm going up. I'm doing great. You know, not to toot my own fucking horn, but everything's fine. Everybody's laughing. And that one girl fucking said, "You suck."
Oh, really?
Right?
I didn't know she was drunk. Oh.
And I go, get the fuck. Are you out of your mind fucking saying that? Who the fuck said it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was that drunk party. And she was so drunk and fucked up. There was 10 people in her party.
Right.
And they all had a great time, but they were too drunk and they were yelling shit. Her and this other guy. So then at the end of the show, like, look, I fucking dealt with it. She shut the fuck up. I moved on. I'm not only to fucking make it a huge deal. I know she's drunk and she's a drunk twat.
At the end of the show, I saw her. She was really
drunk. Yeah, but then she comes over to you.
Yeah, but I didn't know any of that.
Okay. All right, but this is what I saw. I saw you hugging her. I know she probably gave you some fucking fake accolade. I liked you, but he was an asshole.
No, she didn't say
that. Okay, hang on. And then I saw you hugging her, and I'm like, this motherfucker.
You did. You said that.
I did. I was like, you fucking ass. And you were like, so you didn't know that was that girl.
No. I didn't know there was that girl.
All right, this is the two things that bug you. That bugged me this weekend about you. All right? That... Yeah. And then last night when I was saying...
You ought to see the smile on your face right now as you're
Of course I'm smiling. It's hilarious. I love talking about this shit. When last night I was saying my goodbye, which is not a real... First of all, it's not a long... You said it's
It's long.
All right, here's my goodbye. Ready? You tell me. You judge
Every
it.
Every time after the fact you said, here's my goodbye, you've shortened it.
No, I did not. I've never shortened. My goodbye has been the same goodbye for 2 years. Right. Ready? Because I know why. Because I remember one time I did do one of those long fucking goodbyes.
Yeah.
And believe me, my fans called me out. They were like, dude, great set, but your fucking stupid emotional goodbye made me sick. Believe me, this is my goodbye. And everybody listening to the podcast, you judge. You can email me at ykwd@riotcast.com. And you let me know if it's long. Thank you. Good night. That's all my time. You guys who know me, thanks for coming out and supporting me again. You guys who don't, now you fucking do. Thank you. That's it. Same thing every night.
Okay, and I would submit that once you say, thank you, I've had a great time, that's my time, that's a goodbye to me. I've never heard somebody say that before,
goodbye. You have to thank the fans,
my
podcast fans and the ONA fans and the people that paid to come see me, like...
I have to say thank you to you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Because you've seen me here before. You came out again. There's people that see me for three times. It's their third time seeing me here. Coming up with photos the last time I was here with Dane at the arena.
Yeah.
I have to thank those motherfuckers. But I have to say my name at the end for those people that don't know me that just came in. Now, my name's Robert Kelly. Now you fucking do. So they know when I'm in town next time, they know to come see me again.
Right.
I don't think that's the fastest way you could say. I think that's the fast. I don't know if there's any faster than that.
Well, I learned.
Okay, great. Right? As long as I'm. But this is what you do. You're running up to go on stage, and I'm like, then you literally made me look like an asshole.
No, you made me look like the
asshole. I did. It was either you or me. It was either you're standing there while I'm fucking going, hey guys, thanks. And you're standing like,
how about if I'd have put my hand on the small of your back and with my other hand just showed you off stage? Hey, but, Robert Kelly, everybody.
But this is the thing, though, is that I did tell you to go fuck yourself.
You did.
But you don't take it to heart. No. I don't think you did.
No.
So you were fine. That's why I was like, all right, this guy ain't that bad, because he's not taking any of this bullshit to heart. He's getting that I'm just fucking busting his ass.
I will tell you the kind of person I am.
Yeah.
Even if I dislike somebody,
yeah,
I wouldn't let that stand between good comedy happening here. It doesn't matter. I don't care how I feel about somebody.
Right.
If I feel comfortable charging complete strangers any portion of $15 to hear what you have to say,
yeah,
you get on the show.
Right. Well, here's the thing, is everybody I talk to who knows you is, and you can tell you're a nice guy. That's the main thing, is you're not an asshole.
Yeah.
You're actually a nice guy that cares about comedy. Your way of doing it or whatever is a little weird, but now at the end of the weekend, it's like, you know what? When I come back here, if I make it back here, if I'm alive, you know what I mean? I would work this club.
Cool.
I would work this club before the improv.
Cool.
I'd work a theater. But if I was going to work a club, I'd come back to this club. It's a good club. The crowds were great. They weren't too drunk. You didn't get them too fucked up.
Right.
It wasn't a too long of a show. They really fucking laughed.
They're smart. This is a smart audience.
It's a really good. I had a blast. Every show was fucking great. We had one drunk bitch, a couple drunk people, but I talked to the guys and they fucking handled it. You're not that guy.
But see, now look, when you watch this Bar Rescue episode,
yeah,
we kicked out their hecklers that they planted.
Yeah.
What they don't show is that I'm the one who contacted them twice and said, hey guys, you got to keep it down.
Right.
You know, blah, 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 blah. And the third time I went, got Cameron, and we both went over there and walked them out. All of a sudden, the producer comes and grabs me with a camera and takes me outside, and he goes, hey, how come you didn't address those hecklers? And I go, and I'm at my wit's ends at this point. I go, dude, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
I walked them out. No, but why didn't you? Why didn't you? And he just kept repeating it until I got on board with saying it, you know? And I just was like, fuck this, man, I'm not. And I walked off or some shit like that. But people who've seen me on that show, they painted me as like aloof, somebody who doesn't give a shit about the show. I only care about me. That's completely opposite from.
They did. I saw a little clip and it was like, I go on every show.
So ridiculous.
You do go on every show, though.
Pretty much. I go on every show. Why? Either hosting.
Can I ask why?
Yeah. Yeah. Because this club didn't come about because I had a business plan and I wanted to open a club and I found people to give me money.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a guy who had money who wanted to invest in a business club. Mm-hmm. This club came about because somebody who had money loved what I was doing with the club, with the comedy, mm-hmm. with the experience that people had here.
Okay.
And so as our headliners get better and better,
yeah,
I take less and less of a role in that. I mean, I would love it so that, but it is true. I have a philosophy about comedy. I have a standard, I think, for people to tell original jokes. And I want to set that example.
Uh-huh.
And I don't care if the audience is laughing. I want them listening. And I want them, ultimately, I want them to laugh. But I'm not addicted to laughs per minute. I'm addicted to listening. I'm addicted to people being involved, whether they're crying, they're mad, or they're happy. You know what I mean? Because even in jokes that I have about my dog, sure, do some people cry? Do some people yell out, "I'm an animal lover, this isn't funny"? And then I address them, you know, I attack them essentially. And then, because I know the joke is going to be paid off with a huge laugh if they just hold on long enough. Mm-hmm. That's what I like. And those are the comedians that I like to come in here. And that's what I like. I like to teach people how to listen and how to appreciate and judge comedy. Hmm. That's what I like.
Right. Well, dude, it's
you know. I mean, dude, you steamrolled these people, right? But if you took your jokes and wrote them down like a menu, yeah, and let people read them before they walked in to decide if they want to come in.
Yeah.
Nobody's coming in.
Nobody's coming in
at all.
No.
No. And somebody else up there saying the things you say, they don't care. They wouldn't like that person.
Right.
They like you saying those things.
Right. Yeah.
And nobody else could repeat your jokes.
Right.
Because they come from you.
Right.
That style may take more nerve to stick to it and more time for people to come around to it. But right, when they do, you can say anything you want.
Right.
Because it's not about what you're saying; it's about the fact that you're saying it.
Right. Because I'm funny from the second I go up there.
Dude, it was ridiculous. That was ridiculous.
But it's, I mean, at the end of this weekend,
yeah,
if I was to evaluate this fucking, I know next time I come here, I'm going to be staying in a better room.
Right, yeah.
Which is great. I was, you know, because the guy literally told me, I will never have you stay in that room again.
Right on. That's
so great. That's awesome. Because, yeah, you know, and that's the one thing, some people think that comics are divas about the room thing or the light or blah, but it's our home.
Yeah.
We don't get home. We don't get to go home every night. We don't get to open that door to the same awesome place. We got to go into this other fucking room. And there's certain things that you don't accept. And, you know, you want a comfortable bed. You want TV. You want a clean shower. You want to be able to get food. You know what I mean? You want to be able to sleep.
Yeah.
You want drapes. Shit like that. Right. You know what I mean? You do. Because our hours are different. You want
fresh coffee in the pot, coffee,
yeah,
pot.
You want, well, yeah, that was fun. Well, here's the deal is that after talking to that guy, it's like, okay, I get, you go up to the front, they have a beautiful espresso machine that they make insane coffee.
Right, yeah.
Well, I don't know how to fucking, I don't have to do this coffee. They just, you know, so it's like, okay, you know, that means a lot to me, man, that I can sleep and enjoy, you know what I mean, and rest and do all that shit. And then even the club. To come in and go to you and go, bro, this, can we do 30, 35 minutes in front of me? And now I trust you that, okay, you'll do that. You'll do 35 minutes. You're not going to fuck me and do 45 minutes and then come off and go, sorry.
Right.
You give a shit about what me being happy.
Yeah.
So now you know that. And plus all your employees give a shit.
Yeah.
Which is an important thing. So now coming out of this club, dude, it's like I would definitely come back to this place. I hope you guys succeed because, you know, you, somebody else telling me you're the way you, it doesn't come across. If somebody else explains your theories.
Right.
Somebody else says it doesn't come across. But when you hear you talk about it, it's like, okay, that makes sense to me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
watching you on the TV, I didn't watch it this weekend because I would have prejudged you and been this fucking
guy. It would
have
been horrible.
And then I can get mad at you or blah, 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 I learned, but I also saw how you respond to shit and you're not an asshole. You're actually a nice guy and you have this fucking, all these people like you. And I talked to, you know, it's all of a sudden you come to this conclusion.
You know, despite the attitude that I kind of put out there, probably, yeah, like, you know, most comedians, I hate it if somebody doesn't like me or if they have something bad to say,
right,
about me or the club. You know, we're not, I don't have a system for this. I'm learning as we go along and I don't mind making mistakes.
Right.
But what I do mind is if somebody really feels I treated them with, like, out of integrity, you know what I, yeah, mean? Like I really was, you know, rude or just malicious or something like, yeah, that. That's what really jacks me up because any mistakes we make here, they're just all errors. You know,
right, yeah,
we're never trying to gain ground.
Right.
We're never trying to save face. It's just, yeah, we're a comedy club right down to the bones. And you know, it just is what it is,
yeah,
you know? And I think like what you're saying, that's, you don't want to hear that because it sounds like someone's going, look, this is going to be a fucked up weekend. Just roll with it.
Yeah. Yes. You don't want to hit that shit, dude. It's like, motherfucker, I've been here. I've been doing this too long. No, let's. I'm going to tell you the way it's going to be, and this is the way, because I know how good, and it's like, all right, you know, I think that, you know, I think Gary Gulman said it the best. He goes, dude, great, you're going to be fine. Awesome shows, great club, awesome. Good guy. Just you got to fucking keep your eye on shit and keep things focused.
Yeah, I felt bad about this last weekend with Gary, you know, because regardless of what may have been happening in his life, right? Maybe it was all of us. Maybe it was just us and we were doing that poor of a job that we didn't do the first time. You know what I mean?
Right.
And in the moment, I did kind of have this, well, fuck, I don't care. I'm not putting up with this. You know what I mean? Right. But as soon as it was over, you know, I felt like, God damn it. You know, I probably, if I lost him, I'm not going to be happy about that.
Yeah.
Not just because he's not coming back, but because if he's not coming back, he's not only not coming back, but he's also not coming back thinking that I didn't care enough to make it what he needed it to be. Do you know what I mean? But in the moment, I too was frustrated.
Yeah, but listen, dude, here's the deal. Like I told Marcus, dude, there's ways to make a crowd good.
Yeah.
You seat the fucking good people up front. You get to make those
decisions.
Who is the
good people?
The good people that aren't shit-faced. Yeah. You get a group of hot chicks in fucking dresses that are already fucked up on their phones.
Yeah.
Don't sit up front. Right. You get back, bitch. Because when I tell you to shut the fuck up, nobody else is going to hear me kick you out.
Right.
A group of huge parties. You don't get the front row.
Right.
You get a couple back. So when we get to tell you to shut your face, you get the fuck out.
Right.
You know, if you look at these, it's couple, and they're sober, and they came to have a great time. They paid money. They're sober. They're good. So now, boom, boom, I don't see that. You don't fuck with my self-esteem.
Yeah.
Right? You get to run the show, so if this bitch is talking, shush her. I didn't even hear it. It didn't fuck with me. But if Gary or me, like you said, listening, you're not listening if I see you on your phone.
Right.
You're not listening if I see you talking, if you're actually talking over my punchlines, and you're right here. If you're back there, I'll let you deal with it.
Right.
I'll let them deal with it. I barely hear you. I saw a chick on her phone way back. I don't give a fuck about her.
Right.
But if you're right there in front of me, you're literally telling me I don't give a fuck about you. Fuck you. Looking at my phone.
Right.
I'm talking to somebody.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, that's what they're saying to us. But literally, with this generation, they don't realize they're saying that.
Yeah, but here's the deal. It's you gotta train your audiences to fucking to obey your rules. Yeah. There's rules to performances. This isn't the fucking Wild West.
And we do have to do a better job at that.
Yeah, well, I think you did a great job this weekend. Whoever sat the room this weekend, fucking great.
That's Marcus.
Dude, then fucking whatever he did,
yeah,
fucking great. Because everybody up front was fucking awesome. Boom, boom, boom. There's enough buffer so when the bomb goes off, it doesn't hit me. It hits you first.
Right.
It hits them. Or other, you know, I don't have to feel it. So, and then I don't even acknowledge it. Like the girls in the back, the first show and the second show. I know they're cunts. They wouldn't shut the fuck up.
Right.
They had a blast. Supposedly,
right?
Because they come up to me at the end of the show, we loved you, it's my birthday, thank you. But they didn't even hear what I said because they were talking the whole time. I kept vaguely hearing people, shh, shh. But it wasn't, you know, you seat those bitches up front because it's their birthday. Fuck you and your birthday.
Right.
I don't give a fuck. There's going to be a million birthdays here. But I want people that are sober up front so that they listen and they enjoy and they laugh. And you keep the comic self-esteem going.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to fuck with that. Especially a guy like Gary. Even a guy like me, I'll say. Because I'll get angry. I'm going to fucking snap. And once I snap, it's done. I'm the Hulk, dude. I'm the Hulk trying to be fucking, you know, Bruce.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Bruce Banner. What the fuck is his name?
Yeah, I think that's
David Banner.
David Banner.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm not David Banner trying to be the Hulk.
Right.
I'm always the Hulk trying to be this nice guy. So, you know, that's a good thing. Like, whatever Marcus did, that's what you want to keep fucking doing. Choose, pick, look. You know, they're good. Put them here. Put them fucking back here. These are our, you're going to get kicked out tables. These are our, you might get kicked out tables.
Right.
Here's our big fucking party tables. You guys are assholes, but you can sit here and we can tell you to shut the fuck up. You're not going to fuck the show up. That shit's important, dude.
Yeah.
Because once, you know, look, man, Patrice used to kick out. Dude, you want to hear stories? He used to walk into rooms and kick half the show out and wouldn't start his comedy. He'd walk in and go, you, get the fuck out. You're not going to like me. I don't like your face. Take her and get... People would like, what the fuck?
I would love that.
Beat it. Beat it.
Yeah.
Half the room gone.
Wow.
I've had club owners go, he was the first person that he made a woman cry. I saw a woman literally came up to me in tears. Like, what the fuck is wrong with him? And then he'd do his act. Because he, it's like, it's that important to us that they're focused and they're there to fucking listen. Like you said, they listen. If you stock that room with a bunch of cunts on their fucking phones, somebody doesn't give a shit. It's not me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's somebody. You know, and all you had to do is fucking put those twats like you did tonight. Those twats are way in the back. So,
yeah,
you know, that's the shit you should learn as you make, you can form that room. And look, this guy's fucked up and he hasn't shut up. I'm not putting him in front. Even though, can I have a front row?
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Right.
You can have fourth row. And it looks right like, but I need to, I'm probably going to have to boot you, fuckface. Right. I'll tell you to shut the fuck up 8 times.
We're going to sit you close to the door.
Yeah. And look at, you guys didn't, look at, you guys, like, I thought you guys were all going to fucking just yap to the crowd. No, you guys, you went to your act and you stuck to your act, which is the shit.
Yeah.
You know? I fucked with you last night in between sets, but that was just busting the balls.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. But I hope, you know, I hope, first of all, number one, that you use that side room more. That's a fucking awesome room, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, you could do so much with that fucking place as far as creativity. You know what I mean? But I definitely wish you all the luck, man, in the world. I definitely, for anybody who's going through this town or other comics that listen to this, this is one of those rooms. I always say it. I'll play a fucking original comedy club, a boutique comedy club, a fucking, those loners, those privately owned. I'll play. I love them. Yeah. I love that they're, this is a new thing that's happening. There's a lot of these clubs popping up around the country. And they're great because you get to come in and you guys are doing it for, it's all on your shoulders, man. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
It is. It's all on your shoulders. But I think, dude, I think you're gonna pop out of it. It's going to suck, but I think you're going to pop out of it.
I can tell you, we're in that stage, you know, where the fun is, has the sheen is kind of worn off it. And, you know, I mean, this eye is still on the prize, and I knew it was going to take a couple of years before, you know, the word of mouth spreads enough that we're consistently getting good crowds in here. But, I mean, without a doubt, it's happening, you know.
You got to start using the internet, dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
Well, Twitter's just something we're not real big on.
Just give it to somebody to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's a simple thing that you have 4,000 people. You have 4,000 people on your Twitter account.
Yeah.
You could have sold, say you sold an extra 30 tickets. That's fucking good money.
Yeah.
That's money. You 4,000 people, 30 tickets is not a far cry. 30 people that knew me, that didn't know I was coming because your Twitter, or they don't know me, blah, 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 and they could have known that I was here just because of you send out one fucking 140 character tweet.
Right.
Robert Kelly's here this weekend. The next two people that email us at this email get a pair of free tickets. Then you give away a couple tickets, but all these other 100 people tried for them, and then they get to come. They'll pay. You get 20 of those people. That's money.
Yeah.
Facebook.
No, for sure. Man.
I took an ad out.
I have had an ad out for 2 weeks.
On me.
On you.
You pay for it?
Yeah, yeah.
You pay.
Yeah.
Facebook's unbelievable. When you do those ads, dude, I took one out. It's 8,000 people in the first day.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who knows now, but next time I'm here, all those people on Facebook, that's why I say that thing at the end. I want those people to find me on Twitter and Facebook. So the next time I come here, I not only get the people that saw me this time that know me, I get those other motherfuckers.
Right.
So
yeah.
You got to definitely start using that Twitter. Even though it's a fucking pain in the ass, even, you know, you got to do it.
I'll get a guy on it.
You should get some asshole just to do it. Just do it. Yeah. Be fucking great. People will go there all the time. Just to retweet what I tweet. retweet a fan. There's fans that tweeted your Twitter, and nobody retweeted the fan. You know how excited a fan would be? Is if you guys retweeted his thing about me?
Yeah.
That hits 4,000 people. It's a lot of people, dude.
It is. You know what? For me, it's just one of those things that...
You shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
No, it's not your job. You should tell Marcus or somebody to fucking, here's the password, here's the thing. Every week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you need to tweet out the fucking what's going on.
Yeah.
And you have two pairs of tickets you can give away every week. And this is the email address to email them to. And you're done. Someone else do it. You should definitely do it. Yeah.
We just hired on a marketing company too. So, I mean, I think every time somebody comes back, they go, wow, it's so much different than the last time I was here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think there's no doubt that this club is going to be the hottest ticket in town. We're going to sell out all 180 seats every night because, you know, we only have, four shows, five shows, you know, with Thursday.
It's just such a good way of doing it.
And it's just such a, it's a unique experience. You know, I've been to a lot of comedy shows and they're very, sterile and just sort of, this has a gnarly good feel to it.
I think so.
You know?
Yeah, dude. I mean, I would definitely, I'm going to go on Yelp and leave a thing for you. No, I'm joking. I'm not. I just did a podcast.
I don't let comedians get on there and do it.
50,000 people are going to hear this fucking podcast. So, all right, dude. Well, thank you.
Thank you, man.
For having me. It's been a fucking treat getting to know you over the weekend. And I'm glad I did. I really,
We've come full circle.
At the end of the day, you're not a total fucking douchebag.
Not a total.
You're actually a nice guy and a douchebag.
Yeah.
I think like all of us.
You're right.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot. Right this on. Is Robert Kelly. Who else is on the show? Your sister?
Shannon Wiesinger, her daughter, my niece Madison Wiesinger.
Right, and the comic was
Nate Sinclair. And
Marcus
Kirsten Alberts was on it.
Right, I did a video with Marcus today.
Yeah,
and the club is
Stand Up Scottsdale.
And check it out if you guys are here. Make sure to follow them on Twitter.
Twitter,
even though they don't tweet,
we'll start looking for you.
they'll have fucking more Twitter follows, but they won't.
SUS Comedy Club.
What is it?
I think it's at SUS Comedy Club.
Yeah, it is. So make sure you follow them. Follow them on Facebook. And if you're in the area, make sure you you get the fuck down here and support this club. It's, it's the fucking lone motherfucker out here. that's it. YKWD, dude, special one-on-one, on-the-go podcast, Thursday show for you fuckers. So check it out. Make sure you go to tweakedaudio.com. Buy yourself a pair of headphones. In-air, mic, non-mic, wood grain, green, lime green, white, all kinds of colors, all kinds of styles. And they're great quality headphones for a cheap price. And get this. Use the code word DUDE when you check out. You get another 33% off. That's right, 33% off. That's close to almost half. It's a lot, actually. And free shipping. So, make sure you go to tweakedaudio.com. Get yourself a few pairs of headphones. You don't just get one. It's not worth it. I think they wind up being 10 bucks a pair. I don't know what it is, but it's crazy. So buy a few. Give some away. Great gifts. Tweakedaudio.com. Code word DUDE. 33% off. Free shipping. Right now. And make sure you go to riotcast.com/Robert Kelly, the You Don't Know What Dude page on Riotcast. And there's an Amazon link and a Gamefly link. Anything you buy on the internet, you go through our Amazon link. That's how you support the show. Go to our page, bookmark it, and just buy shit. Just buy whatever the fuck you're going to buy, but you'll also be supporting the show. And gamefly.com/YKWD, 2 free weeks of awesome games shipped right to your house. It's the Netflix of video games. If you're a gamer, you should try it if you haven't already. So, you can cancel at any time, too. There you go. You can also donate to the show. If you go to our Riotcast page, YKWD, there's a donate button.
I want to thank all you awesome, sexy motherfuckers who've donated. All that money has gone to helping out the studio, paying for things. It's just making the show better. So we appreciate that. And make sure you go to riotcast.com and check out some of the most amazing podcasts out there. Riotcast.com, we pride ourselves on putting together the most unique, unbelievably funny, interesting podcasts on the internet. It's not just the same thing or the same feel or the same fucking taste over and over and over again. It's different shows, a bunch of different shows. We're all over the fucking charts. We got Bailey J, we got the Davey Mac Sports Show, Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve. We got Hammer Fisting with Louis J. Gomez. We got all kinds of stuff. We got Glory Hole Network. We got Why You Suck in Bed. I mean, holy caca, there's so much stuff. There's more. There's even more. We got Why My Wife Hates Me. I think that's what it's called. Anyways, go there. Go to riotcast.com. Jersey Jerks. Unbelievable shows. Unbelievable. And it's all free. That's right, free. The only thing you can do is help out the shows by hitting their donate buttons or buying their merch at the top of the page and spreading the word. That's all you have to do. Spread the word of the Riotcast Network and all of our shows. And well, that's all you have to do. And we'll keep this free. My Wife Hates Me, Jim Florentine, Weird Medicine, The Comedy Cellar, Live from The Comedy Cellar, The Glory Hole, Bailey J, Davey Mac Sports Program, Why You Suck in Bed, Mad Scientist Party Hour, The Jersey Jerks, and Hammer Fisting are the shows on the network. All hilarious, all free, and every week they're up there for your enjoyment. So make sure you go support them all. All of them. And get the app. iPad, iPhone, and Android is coming soon. Make sure you email us at ykwd@riotcast.com. You have anything. You want to give us props, you want to tell us some suggestions who to have on the show, blah, 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 blah. ykwd@riotcast.com. I'm sitting in my underwear right now on my iPhone with my awesome mic that I got from Carl. And I'm doing this, so enjoy.
Don't stop filming my face. Don't stop